The New Hampshire primary focused candidates on drug addiction issues, but the problem is not isolated there. Senior correspondent Jason Word has more.
The attention in New Hampshire on drug addiction issues is resonating across the United States. In New Orleans, a recent rash of tainted drugs led to dozens of overdose deaths. Dr. Peter DeBlow of LSU Medical Center in New Orleans tells USA Radio News part of the addiction problem was created by doctors.
We have spent the last 2 decades creating opiate dependence due to our laxity in prescribing oral pain medications, oral narcotics. And so there's been a systematic approach to reducing the number of prescriptions and reducing the amount of pain medicines.
Dr. DeBlow says the federal government is aware doctors help create the addiction problems in the country. I'm Jason Wirt.
Temperatures are getting dangerously cold in the Northeast. The National Weather Service says a polar vortex will move into the region this weekend, sending temperatures in much of the Northeast plunging below zero by Sunday morning. And a Canadian man is going to see his family again after suddenly realizing he's been missing for 30 years. Edward LaTulip seemingly disappeared from an Ontario town without a trace in 1986 when he was only 21. LaTulip had suffered a head injury and forgot pretty much everything for the next 3 decades. He started a new life a few towns over until last month when something clicked and he remembered his name. He discovered he was missing and now plans to reunite with his old family. For breaking news, we're at westernjournalism.com. I'm Melody Burkett.
Don't fear technology. Use it, understand it, and embrace it. The mission of Tech Today is to demystify technology. I'm your host, Chris Bianco, principal of Blue Panther Business Partners. Every Tuesday morning from 10 to 11, we will cover new apps, buying advice, technology news, and answer your questions. Good day, and join me on Tech Today on HuntertonChamberRadio.com.
Hi, we'll be right with you with the sports guys, but before that, just want to talk about the weather. And this is going to be a good weekend to do your inside chores. Today it was partly sunny, and actually it was a nice day. It was fairly warm, but at least it felt that way. Tonight we have about a 30% chance of showers, and meaning snow showers, not showers, because it's going to be about 24 degrees tonight, maybe lower. Actually, it's going to go down to about 14 degrees tonight. And later on, it's about a 50% chance of scattered snow showers tonight, but no real accumulation, possibly just a dusting, less than half an inch. So it's not going to be much at all. Tomorrow, we have about a 20% chance of isolated snow showers, but it is getting cold. The high tomorrow, might be around 18 to 20 degrees. So it could be quite a bit colder. And frankly, with the wind, it could feel like it's 7 below zero. So tomorrow is going to be cold. Tomorrow night, partly cloudy. Again, it's low of about 1 degree below zero. So it's going to be cold this weekend. Sunday, it should be sunny, which will make it feel warmer. High of about 15 degrees, although it will depend on the wind. And again, on Sunday night, partly cloudy. If you don't have to work on Monday, you're still going to be facing about a 30% chance of snow, but the high will be up around freezing. So it'll actually feel warm after the weekend. So we're here now, and just give you one short commercial, and then the sports guys will talk about the Super Bowl, because if you our regular listeners, you know that the radio was down last week, and so we couldn't bring you all of our great Super Bowl predictions, which only means that none of us were embarrassed because we all thought the Panthers would win. So we'll be right back.
Lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. Let me repeat, lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. This is not a crazy diet or exercise program, no drugs, hormones, or shots. You can lose 20 to 45 pounds in 40 days with Nutrimost Resonant Frequency Technology to measure 2,800 of your body's key biomarkers. Using NRF, they can find and correct the cause of your weight problem by measuring factors affecting weight gain, including metabolism, fat burning, fat storage, appetite, detoxification, and hormones. hormonal regulation. It's safe, fast, easy, and effective, and you won't walk around hungry or have cravings. It's even doctor-supervised. Schedule a body composition analysis and consultation. You can be transformed in 40 days guaranteed. This is a limited-time offer, so they can't wait to see you look great.
So call 888-718-7077. That's 888-718-7077. Or visit njthin.com. That's njthin.com.
Well, we're here, the sports guys, today. I'm Pat Smits, and we have Ken Milstray and...
Hello.
Bill Wolfson.
Oh,
and of
thank
course,
you. I'm glad you could remember my name, Pat.
Of course I can.
It's so cold, it's kind of hard to get the blood moving in the brain. I know I'm having a problem today. For some reason, the colder it gets, though, the happier I am. I start thinking about hockey once the Super Bowl's over.
Well, why don't you tell us about hockey and the sports guys' plans, and we're inviting all our listeners to join us.
Yeah, the sports guys are having our first annual hockey night with the sports guys and the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce at the Lehigh Valley Phantoms on Saturday night, February 20th. Tickets are only $17, and anybody who wants to come, give me a call at 908-782-9333 or at wwolfsonlaw@comcast.net. The Panthers are going to be facing off with the Bridgeport Sound Tigers. The doors open at 5:30, and I can tell you that we're going to hit the Allentown Brew Works first for dinner, probably leaving Flemington and Clinton about 4 o'clock to get up there, eat a nice, hopefully not too greasy cheesesteak with fried onions, peppers, and all those other terrible things that cardiologists don't recommend. And then watching a good hockey game. The Bridgeport Sound Tigers are playing really well. The Phantoms, as you know, are the Philadelphia Flyers' top farm team. So you'll see the Flyers and Islanders tomorrow's stars next Saturday night.
Well, so, let me ask you, Bill. I know that people can drive together, people can call, and we can certainly share rides. But we're basically thinking about what time do you think people should arrive if they want to go to dinner? What time should they arrive at the Brew Works? And, of course, it's all going to be a la carte. It's all going to be individual, so we're not going to have any kind of shared expenses.
That's
you can
right.
eat as little or as much as you want.
Yeah, generally the Allentown Brew Pub is open from lunchtime onward until well after midnight from what I saw on their website. I know the food's good because we've already sent our spies up there to scout ahead. And probably the best time to get there is going to be about 5 o'clock. Face-off is at 7. And did I forget to mention, two lucky fans will have the chance to ride the Zamboni during the second intermission.
That's really great. That'll be fun.
So looking forward to this. Really, it's going to be a great event. I've been there previously this season to see a game. I would highly recommend, if you're planning on dinner, don't be late. It does get crowded. I mean, I think the capacity there is about 10,000, and I think a lot of people think along the same lines we do. Let's eat someplace local because there's a lot of good restaurants around there. So don't be late. I'm looking forward to sharing a cheesesteak around 5 o'clock on that night.
I think that's just great. You know, they do sell out. So we have 20 tickets. There are at least 7 or 8 spoken for already, folks, so they're going to go fast because I've got them, and come and get them.
Yeah, give Bill a call. Bill, again, give your number so anyone who wants a ticket can give Bill a call.
Very good. 908-782-9333 or wwolfsonlaw, wolfsonlaw@comcast.net. And I'll be real happy to talk to you about the game, how to get there. Directions are on the Chamber's website and also on the Lehigh Valley Phantoms website. There is parking right next to the arena, so you could actually walk into the arena from the indoor parking lot, or the City of Allentown Parking Authority has a number of lots real close by. And I'll tell you, folks, it's right off Hamilton Street. It's 8th and Hamilton is where the arena is located. It's one turn off of I-78. And we are looking forward to getting a good turnout. And I'm really looking forward to seeing who the two people are who are going to ride the Zamboni. Well, Pat, we've talked about hockey. We know that this weekend there's going to be some interesting hockey coming up. The Flyers face off against the New Jersey Devils in Let's see. In Philadelphia, 1 o'clock Saturday afternoon. I'm going to be indoors painting and spackling in my house, and I'm going to take a break to watch that hockey game, assuming that I don't fall off the ladder have to just lay around and let my wife do the painting. But my wife swears she's going to do the painting if I do the spackling, so this is going to be a very interesting weekend for me.
Well, it certainly will, and hopefully the two of you won't be seeing lawyers on Monday. There are some things that you learn you just don't do with your spouse if you want to
have a
long marriage.
Yes, that's true. Well, after 38 years, 36 of matrimony, and two of just sort of hanging around together and dating, I don't know that my wife and I have ever painted together. What do you think, Pat?
Well, let's get back to hockey. That might be safer.
Pat, under the divorce laws in New Jersey, is it grounds for divorce if you are compelled to paint in the same room as your spouse?
Actually, it's pretty much anything goes in New Jersey now that we have no fault.
Okay, but no fault means you've got to be living separate and apart for 18 months, last I read.
No, you're way old. All you have to do is say there are irreconcilable differences for 6 months. And if anyone who's been married for any length of time can't allege irreconcilable differences at some point or another.
Well, I guess that includes what channel to watch or who gets to control the remote, right?
I guess that could be part of it.
Well, enough of matrimonial law. Let's talk about the Super Bowl, Pat. I don't know about you, but I love defensive battles where you see great defensive plays and they stuff the run on both sides. I was a little disappointed that Carolina didn't make it more of a game offensively. And I know it was Peyton Manning's last hurrah, or as they say in Denver, his last rodeo.
Well, what has he come out and announced anything? Because I was really surprised. I thought he probably would announce at the game, after the game. And I guess maybe I was hoping he would, because I hope we don't do a long, dragged out, you know, is he going to play? Because we know he's not going to play for Denver. And I would hope he'd go out on this basis, because, frankly, he did not win that game. We know that neither of the offenses. I mean, it was, as you said, it was a real defensive game. And I thought, I mean, the Denver defense just was terrific. I mean, I knew they were good. I knew they were good after what they did to Brady, but I didn't realize they were that good.
Well, the defense was the number one defense against the run during the year, and I think they were number two against the pass. The Broncos really showed us the way to play a good defensive football game.
You know, I didn't think they'd have the kind of success that they did against Brady, and I guess it caught me a little bit by surprise that they were able to shut down New England to the extent that they did. And lo and behold, I think they even played better against Carolina. Maybe they were motivated by some of the antics of, you know, the Carolina quarterback or whatever, but Carolina couldn't really do anything. They got frustrated early, and like any team, whether in any sport, you get frustrated, you get out of your comfort zone, you start trying to do things you can't do, and Denver just took it to them. To me, that was an old-fashioned football game.
It certainly was. It was the only thing that was missing was that they weren't playing in snow.
Right. It was neat, though. Typical NFL, you know, 2015, 2016, there were a lot of turnovers, there were a lot of penalties, there were a lot of, you know what, the one thing that disappointed me, I don't think I ever saw a game, and I know I never saw a Super Bowl game that had so many late hits and personal fouls. It was just, I mean, I think there were seven, and it was both teams. It went both ways, but to me, that showed me that the players were maybe amped up a little bit too much. I have to look at the coaches on that. How many yards did Carolina lose based on personal foul? There was one that they gave him a first down at the 1 yard line after a personal foul.
I think they lost about 70 or 80 yards in penalties.
Yeah, and the players just have to be better controlled than that. And Denver also, one of their deep backs, he had three penalties in a row in the first half.
That's right.
Yes.
That's right. And that made no sense, because Denver would have had an even stronger first half. I don't know that it's completely possible for it to be that much stronger, but they just played out of their minds well on defense. What I've noticed too is that the NFL generally this season and last season seem to be more and more late hits, more and more penalties that nobody needs to really be taking, and I blame that more on the coaches than I do the players. The other thing that I'm finding less and less attractive as I watch more and more football over the years is all the showboating that goes on.
Yeah.
I don't know why people need to do that. I think the Lambo leap and things like that are cool.
Oh, wait a minute. Don't
involve
even
the fans.
The problem is, have you seen how many teams have the Lambo leap?
So many teams have cloned that celebration that it's losing its luster, unless you're in Green Bay.
You're right, though. I totally agree. I don't know what's with the showboating. I understand if you score a touchdown in the Super Bowl, you're pretty happy. You're probably going to do more than you normally would. But these guys make a routine out of – they make a tackle, and they start dancing. There's a sack in the second quarter of a game in September, and they're acting like they just won the Super Bowl. I really don't get it.
Well, I think it's encouraged by the league, although they say they're not, because remember, this is entertainment, and, you know, we have another generation that has been used to this, raised on TV. I don't think good sportsmanship is taught anymore. The one thing I always learned was no matter how well you've done, you never taunt the other side, because they're going to have a good reason to come back and hurt you.
Well, you never went,
Well, if you did, you sat on the bench for the next play.
Well, you know what? What was interesting to me is after watching the first half, I really thought that Carolina, with that long intermission, I really expected Cam Newton to come out and change his game.
I thought so too.
I truly thought, and they were so close. I mean, they were so close. I just kept thinking they're going to come back. They're going to, they're going to pull out the Hail Mary. They're going to do something. And the Denver defense was just, to me, had read that game plan as well as any defense can read a game plan. And they, how many times was Cam sacked?
Seven.
Yeah, okay. I knew it was six or seven. I didn't remember.
And how many times did he have his hurry-ups where he got knocked down? I think another five or six.
Yeah, he was really under stress right from the first play.
Oh, yeah.
And the thing is, Carolina, oddly enough, or maybe it isn't odd, I don't know enough about Carolina's game plan, they didn't change anything. They were unsuccessful
right
in the first half. Let's run the same plays in the second half. Maybe we'll do better. I don't get it.
Yeah, that's why I said I thought that they would come out and
right.
They would have taken, and they had certainly had enough time to do it, and would really change their game and have figured out what they needed to do to overcome that great defense, and they didn't. Now, Carolina's defense was also good. I mean, this game was not won by Peyton Manning by any
stretch. No, if anything.
Stretch of the imagination.
I mean, he gave two turnovers. If anything, he from that perspective, he might have been a detriment. Now, I don't know if their second-string quarterback had played. Maybe they would have won the game anyway, but I got the feeling, and maybe I'd like to hear what you guys think about this, that the Broncos might have played better because they knew Peyton wasn't going to be able to carry them.
I absolutely had the same thought I also think they played better because they wanted to give Peyton one more Super Bowl win.
Right.
Just like when Denver unfortunately paid the Packers, and they wanted to make sure that John Elway got a ring.
Right.
And, I mean, I think that was a big motivation for that team. And I think this was a motivation knowing that, their quarterback, who had really remember, he came into Denver without the kind of expectations that we've seen.
Mm-hmm.
And they just wanted to give him a good send-off. And that's why, frankly, I hope he does retire.
I hope so, too. Remember, he won a Super Bowl with Indiana and the Colts, and he had neck surgery. Indiana did not want to pick up his option and pay him, I think it was $15 or $20 million. So he ended up with the Broncos taking a chance on him. And they rolled a lucky seven with him, and I think that it's a good, happy ending for him.
Yeah, I can't see. Just on the way he played in that game and in the other playoffs games, I'd say I'd be shocked if he came back because he really can't move around. I mean, any pressure that the defense brought, he went down.
Right.
And he really doesn't have much of an arm anymore. And he can only get by so much with brains. I mean, we know he's got that, but if you can't move and you can't throw, it's tough to be successful in
the NFL. Options. Number one, he doesn't need the money. Number two, he can always do the ads. Number three, I think he might be a good sportscaster. I really do. I think he might be one of those guys that we'll see broadcasting in the future. And, you know, I can't imagine that other than ego, there would be any reason for him to come back.
Yeah, with all the neck surgeries, and I think he might have had a shoulder surgery at one point, his body is taking its toll. And I think everybody agrees it's time to go, but you never know. You know, the competitive juices start flowing, Pat, as you know, with Brett Favre. Who knows where it's going to end?
And, in fact, let's take a few commercials, and we're going to come back. And one of the things I want to talk about is what you think about the Hall of Fame class that are going to be inducted. I think both those who made it and a couple of those who didn't make it. So we'll be back in just a moment. Stay tuned.
At Crown Trophy of Flemington, we have thousands of products for you to choose from. Whether you're looking for trophies, plaques, or corporate awards, Crown Trophy of Flemington is your one-stop shop. We feature acrylic and crystal awards and promotional products for any occasion. We build and engrave all awards right on site. And we're a leading supplier of varsity jackets for local sports teams. We provide quality customer service and great pricing. Crown Trophy of Flemington is conveniently located in the Staples Shopping Center in Flemington. Crown Trophy of Flemington, we're trophies and a whole lot more.
Don't fear technology. Use it, understand it, and embrace it. The mission of Tech Today is to demystify technology. I'm your host, Chris Bianco, principal of Blue Panther Business Partners. Every Tuesday morning from 10 to 11, we will cover new apps, buying advice, technology news, and answer your questions. Good day, and join me on Tech Today on HuntertonChamberRadio.com.
This is Jeannie Aversa, CRPC, Financial Advisor at Patton Hiding Associates. Do you have questions about your retirement, like will your money last throughout your lifetime? Will you have enough to live the life you want? And when will you be able to retire? If so, you're not alone. As a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., Patton Hiding Associates can help you find the answers with the exclusive Confident Retirement Approach. We'll work with you one-to-one to understand your goals and discuss the four key areas of retirement, including covering your essentials, lifestyle, protection, and legacy needs. From there, we'll work together to develop a retirement roadmap with clear steps you can take to help you retire on your terms. Call Patton Hiding Associates today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. The Confident Retirement Approach is not a guarantee of future financial results. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor.
Hi, I'm Joe Peters of Weikert Realtors. Buying or selling a property can be one of the most expensive undertakings you face in your lifetime. And selecting the right realtor to help you through this process can dramatically affect your success or your failure. I have personally helped hundreds of buyers and sellers through this process in achieving their dreams and goals in 100 in Somerset County areas over the past 10 years. I believe that this experience should be a smooth, seamless one for you and not a roller coaster ride. But the best judgment as to whether or not I deliver this to my customers is their reactions in their own words.
One of the things we liked about Joe was that he would return calls within minutes if he wasn't able to pick up.
You know, Joe guided us through the process of selling our home and made a complicated transaction appear seamless.
How do I accomplish this? By approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, I try to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them my own. Then, I go out and take the mass amounts of data that we have and distill them down to a few understandable action points to be considered. Finally, I control the entire process through technology to ensure that we're not going to hit any speed bumps along the way. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let me show you how to take my level of professional expertise and put it to work for you in achieving your real estate goals and dreams. I can be reached at 908-238-0118. Thanks for your time.
Hey, this is Big C of Good Morning Hunterdon on HuntingChamberRadio.com. Like what you hear on Hunting Chamber Radio? Now you can take it with you. Download our Hunting Chamber Radio app from iTunes and Google Play Store now. Get schedules, station information, listen live, or to the latest podcasts. Everything in the palm of your hand or in your car during your commute. Get the HuntingChamberRadio.com app today.
Okay, we're going to be back. We are back, and first of all, we're going to talk about the pit. And I don't know anything about the pit, but certainly Ken Milstray can tell us about the pit.
Well, the pit is the...
You're Ken Milstray?
No, I'm not, but I was going to get started in case Ken... Because Ken was about to leave, but you know it's on the front page of the
No, he wasn't.
Ledger. I thought he was leaving.
These two guys are wrestling one another, just so you know here. Who gets to talk about the pit?
We ought to get into the pit and decide who gets to talk first, Ken, but I will defer to you.
There you go. Thanks, Bill. The pit, for those of you who are unaware, is the gymnasium where the Phillipsburg State Liners wrestle. The pit, from what I'm told, from people who know, it is the greatest home field advantage that any high school team has in the United States. Why?
Wow.
It's an old, I mean, Phillipsburg High School is over 100 years old. It's an old school, old style gymnasium, small, crowded. The seats come right up to the mat. And the Phillipsburg fans, some of them, they have assigned seats. There's a gentleman who hasn't missed a match since, like, I'm guessing here, I'm going to say 1958. I mean, the Phillipsburg wrestling fans are as rabid can be. Very soon, they're going to have the state wrestling tournament down in Atlantic City. I've never been to it, but those who go to it consistently say, every year, the Phillipsburg contingent is the biggest and loudest contingent of fans in Atlantic City.
Wow.
Wrestling is a way of... A lot of people associate Phillipsburg with football.
Right, because they've always had such great football teams.
People in Phillipsburg associate Phillipsburg with wrestling. It's bigger than football. I know that's a crazy statement. And the pit is the home field advantage that the kids in Phillipsburg, if you aspire to wrestle in the pit from when they're 6 or 7 years old, when they start wrestling. Kids from other schools want to wrestle there to say they've wrestled there. Even if they lose, they say it's an incredible experience.
So why are they closing it?
They finally, after all these years, and I don't want to get into all the political stuff with it, because that's a whole other show, they've built a new high school. So the new high school, of course, they spent $84 million on the school. The new high school has the state-of-the-art gymnasium. No matter what state it is, Pat, it's not going to be the pit. Phillipsburg will lose the advantage that they have now. And if you read the article in today's paper, and this is, which paper is this? Star Ledger?
Wow.
It will describe what has happened with other schools that had similar setups as the pit. And what has happened to the team after they moved out? They refer to a couple teams in Pennsylvania, a couple college teams. Basically, the program, I hate to say it, the program collapsed. There was no longer anything to aspire to as a kid growing up. There was no pit to go wrestle in. There was no intimidation from the hometown fans. There was no intimidation for the visiting wrestlers. Similar schools that were powerhouse wrestling programs, they lost their home field advantage. Now they're just a run-of-the-mill, ordinary school.
So are they tearing that old school down?
That's the thing, Pat. They're going to use it as a middle school in Phillipsburg.
So why not keep the wrestling
exactly
right in the school? And, you know, exactly. I understand this because, remember, all of the teams that are building new stadiums, what did the Packers do? They renovated and expanded Lambeau, but they didn't get rid of Lambeau. And I think in part, there was no one wanted a new stadium. Didn't mind having some ladies' rooms that, were working, but you didn't want to, Lambeau was Lambeau, and even though they expanded it, it's still, the bleacher seats, your great views from any seat, and it still had that Lambeau Field feel. Lambeau Field had the Lambeau feel. But I understand, and why not just let them practice in the new high school and still use the pit for all of their games? I mean, would there be anything against that? Could anybody complain if they still use the old gymnasium for their actual
They spent so many millions on the new high school. They said this is where, this is the home of the Phillipsburg Stateliners. We're wrestling here. Now, oddly enough, the football team's still going to play at the old field.
Really?
Yes.
And they have a new field?
They didn't build it. They didn't even bother to build a new field. They're still going to play on Maloney Field, which you can see from Route 22. You've probably passed it if you've ever gone to Pennsylvania. But tonight is the last match at the pit unless they change their mind.
Wow.
So it's a big deal. And trust me, it's a big deal in Phillipsburg. There are Save the Pit signs and stickers everywhere around town.
Well, that's really cool. That's a great story, Ken.
Can I tell you a quick Phillipsburg wrestling story?
Oh, absolutely.
Go right ahead.
I know we usually talk about football or hockey or something, but...
Yeah, but it's fun to hear, and it's especially, I can imagine, all of those kids in 7th and 8th grade who are just waiting to go into high school to wrestle in the pit and never have their opportunity to do so.
We'll see. Let's remember, 5 years from now, we'll get together and talk about the Phillipsburg team and see if... I mean, they are the perennial powerhouse. Such as football, you know, they hold the New Jersey record for football victories. They also hold the New Jersey state record for wrestling victories. So, quick Phillipsburg story. I'll make this one. It's a long story. I'll make it as quick as possible. 3 years ago, I'm having a slice of pizza in Phillipsburg, and a couple of guys walk in with Phillipsburg wrestling jackets on. And they were talking, and I couldn't help but... kind of overhearing them, that the team looked good. This was in, like, October. Yeah, the team's going to look real good this year, except the heavyweight. They don't have anybody at heavyweight. They have some kid that's never wrestled before, and they were really afraid that he was going to cost them a match somewhere along the line. I'm just sitting there eating my slice and drinking my soda. I said, you know what? You never know. You have a great coach. I'll bet you at some point this kid does something good for you. And they were like, yeah, well, you know. Typical high school, what do you know? You know, stop. We know more than you do. Turns out, fast forward about 6 months later, they're in the sectionals. They weren't the state finals. They were in the section finals. Can't remember who they were wrestling. I wasn't there, but I read it in the paper. It came down to the next to last match. Phillipsburg is winning their head by like 3 points. They had nobody else to wrestle. This kid that they were talking about, they were referring to that day in the pizzeria, his record for the season was 2-6. He had won two matches by forfeit. So essentially, he had never won a match before. Right. Phillipsburg's ahead by 3 points. There was two matches to go. He and then there was somebody else going to wrestle after him. He steps up against a kid that was 23-1.
Oh, my
rated
goodness.
Second in the state. If he gets pinned... Phillipsburg's in a position where they're going to lose the match. He goes out and pins the other kid in the first minute of the match.
Wow.
Can you imagine this? And they interview him afterwards. Now, this is I see it on cable TV because we get all the Phillipsburg sports on cable. And they interviewed him and said, well, you know, this was incredible. The other team had already racked up the win here. This kid's number one or number two in the state, and you essentially had never won a match before. What were you thinking? Because it wasn't even a question. I had to win. I'm from Phillipsburg. There was no, I can't let the team down. I had to do it. I could never face my teammates again or anybody else in school if I didn't win that match. And that was it. He never won another match. He didn't go out for the wrestling team next year. The only time he ever won
was the time
he clinched the state sections for the team. And he was just so matter of fact. He was almost surprised by the question. What do you mean? You didn't think I was going to win? I had to win. There was no not winning. I couldn't let everybody else down.
Well, you know what would be fun is to have either a couple kids or a coach or one of the long-term fans come on the program, because I am sure that you're right that there are fans that have been attending almost every game or every game for years and years and years.
It's incredible. I'm going to try to make that. I've been working on that. Unfortunately, timing is everything.
Right.
The wrestling coach is also assistant football coach. He's an assistant, you know, he does everything. He's a math teacher. He's a, you know, his schedule just, we haven't been able to coincide. But
that would be fun even to get some old-time fans on. In fact, I'm sure that you heard, I didn't see it exactly. I just heard from my daughter and the kids about, was it five guys that have gone to every Super Bowl? And apparently they have gone to every Super Bowl. At one time, one of them had lost his business, so the other guys paid for his ticket. Right. And now they are guaranteed tickets for every Super Bowl. Nice. And I don't know if you saw that, but I thought that was great.
Nice.
What a great story.
50 in a
50
row.
50 years.
Wow.
That they, all five of them, have gone to the Super Bowl. And, I mean, they're obviously getting up there in age now. But I just think those kinds of stories are fun. My own father went to every single University of Wisconsin football, home football game from the 1930s. He missed when he was in active duty during the Second World War.
Okay, he gets a pass on that, Pat.
And he tried to go when the doctor said he had a heart attack and had to get to the hospital, and he tried to, because he was going to be going to the hospital in Madison, he tried to talk him into letting him go to the football game before he checked in the hospital. And that was probably in about 1963. So, I mean, there are those diehard fans or Packer fans or other fans, but it would be fun to get a couple of the old Phillipsburg wrestling fans who've done this and maybe wrestled themselves, but go, because that's the one thing I think that Phillipsburg is much like the small town that I grew up in and some of the other small towns in Wisconsin where they're so sports-minded.
Absolutely. And if we could get some of those people on, they could really expand on the Pit to a much larger degree than I can. It's a shame it's the last match there. Hopefully they'll change their mind. Like you said, Pat, why can't they practice in one and have the matches at the other? Why not leverage that home field advantage?
Well, unless there be some reason that the state would say, no, you can't do that, but I don't know why that would be the case. And in some sense, you wonder why, you know, they even added on that facility, probably because they thought maybe the school would be torn down. But I think it's really funny that they're going to now, that's now going to be the middle school.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So maybe one of these days they'll find too much asbestos and they'll have to close it down as they did my school.
Wouldn't be surprised. Built in 1890 something. So it's really a passing of the torch from one school to the other.
But, you know, a lot of these old schools and old arenas really have a lot of charm. I remember as a kid going to Palmer Stadium over in Princeton, and it was a wonderful place to watch a college football game. And you always got a sense of
that's still there.
Oh, they plan a different. They renovated it, and
it's
not really the way it was.
Oh, okay. Well, I guess I hadn't. You know, perhaps I hadn't been there. And I know their hockey is really very small.
Oh yeah, Hobie Baker Rink. I've actually skated on their ice. That rink was built in 1919. It was right after World War I that they put it up. And it's a nice place to watch a game because it's, you know, you're so close to the ice. There isn't a bad seat in the place.
Well, listen, guys, why don't we talk a little bit about the Hall of Fame and the inductees for 2016. And, you know, I can talk about a couple people who didn't make it who I'm sure are very disappointed. But as we know, certainly, you know, Brett Favre was selected the first time he was eligible. And there were, you know, any surprises? I mean, the one question I had was Tony Dungy. I was a little surprised that Tony made it.
Why is that, Pat?
I don't know.
He's a decent coach.
I think he's a decent coach, but is he really a Hall of Fame coach at this point? I don't know. Maybe he is. And perhaps I'm being a little hard on him because I don't know that much about him. I know his players loved him.
Pat, you make a good point. When you think of Tony Dungy, you don't automatically think Hall of Fame, awesome coach. But when you look at his record, I mean, he did a great job with Tampa Bay. He didn't win a Super Bowl with Tampa Bay.
Right.
But he kind of resuscitated that whole program and got them going in the direction, and they eventually did win a Super Bowl, and then he had some success at Indianapolis. Maybe Peyton Manning had a lot to do with that, but, you know, who knows? And like you said, the players always said a lot of nothing but good things about him. You look, he did a good job at Tampa Bay. He did a good job at Indianapolis. There's really no negatives there.
But, you know, a good, solid coach doesn't necessarily mean he's a Hall of Fame coach. That's your point.
Yeah.
And I throw out to you again what I've been saying a lot about the NFL lately, and you know I love football, and I especially love pro football, is that I wonder if they are somehow diminishing being elected, you know, the election to the Hall of Fame, because too many people get in every year.
Oh, that's not true. When you think of too many people get in, when you think of all of the hundreds of football players and good football players, I mean, I disagree with that comment. I mean, how many people went in this year? Eight?
Seven or eight, including one was an owner and one was, an old veterans committee.
Yeah, Eddie DiBartolo Jr. Was the owner of San Francisco, and he was really a colorful guy, but he was, I think, the brains behind, you know, pulling some good people in and letting his coaches coach, and, you know, real controversial figure, obviously, and especially with that, you know, that whole breakup of the family, and the fact that he had to walk away from the 49ers. Yeah. But that one wasn't as much of a surprise to me.
Run down the list, Pat. Who else made it this year?
Well, apparently Marvin. I don't know a lot of the guys. Marvin Harrison.
He's got the stats.
Right, he does.
It's hard to quibble with that one.
And so does Ken Stabler.
It's a shame that he got in posthumously.
Yeah.
I mean, Ken Stabler, nothing changed. He's retired, you know, 35 years ago.
Right.
Nothing changed. It's a shame we could have gotten him in sooner.
Yeah, that was what I was really happy when Dave Robinson got in from the Packers, because there were so many Packers that went in that I thought Dave had been overlooked for many years, and then he did get in. He was still alive, which is great. And, of course, Eddie DiBartolo. I don't even know who Dick Stanfill. I really don't know who
Veterans
he was.
Veterans committee guy. Pat, I think that's before our time.
Okay. But, you know, I was hoping that Kurt Warner would get in.
It's another one. Hard to believe he's not.
Short career. You know, I mean, I think that's the only thing they can say is short career.
He went to the Super Bowl twice, right? And won one?
Yep.
Played well with the Giants.
I saw him play, and, I mean, I thought, you know, great guy, you know, I don't know if it's that they didn't want to put two quarterbacks in the same time. I mean, I think Brett Favre was a no-brainer. He was going to make it the first time around. Now, of course, the controversy is Terrell Owens.
Mm-hmm.
You know, talking about statistics, I mean, he certainly has the numbers to qualify him. There's no doubt that he would have been a first ballot, just like Brett Favre would be a first ballot. Now, I think the most of the people there are people that are supporting and saying that he should have made it because of his numbers, but I think probably more are saying that it was his behavior in the locker room that, you know, five teams, how could somebody that good get bounced off of five teams or play for five teams? You know, what do you have to say, Bill, because he played for your Philadelphia,
the Eagles. We call them the Eagles, and Terrell Owens was never one of my favorite players, mostly because of personality reasons, but he sure could catch a football, and he was a very talented guy. Terrell Owens also got into a salary dispute and wanted his contract renegotiated, and Andy Reid wouldn't have any of it, neither would Howie Roseman. So basically he held out, he locked himself in his house, and he wouldn't come out except to talk to reporters to say how unfair the team had been to him when they simply wanted him to fulfill his contract. There was also the Super Bowl incident where the Eagles were left with a couple minutes on the clock. They were looking to score, and the Eagles quarterback became ill in the huddle, and Terrell Owens made a huge deal out of that. But that is a Super Bowl game where Terrell Owens played with a fractured leg and didn't tell anybody about it till the end of the game when he jumped in an ambulance to the extent he could jump and went to a hospital to get his leg fixed.
Yeah, but that would, for most people, for most fans, that would be a plus. And I know he had that controversy with
Donovan
McNabb, and you know, my understanding that Andy Reid was always very supportive of T.O., but then he would have had to, you know, stand by his quarterback. But that wasn't the only case. I mean, look, he went to Dallas, and his teammates really, you know, there was a problem in Dallas, there was a problem in San Francisco, and I guess that's the issue. Should that keep someone with the numbers out of the Hall of Fame? I don't know if we can answer it, because you also have to think of all the other bad boys who've gotten in there. I mean, one that I've always liked is Michael Irvin. But, you know, the difference is he was, you know, off the field, he was a maniac. I mean, he, you know, Michael Irvin just, you know, what could you say? His behavior off the field was horrible. But he always showed up. He might have partied all night, but he showed up and played the next day. He came to practices. I think that, and his teammates loved him. So, you know, maybe that's significant.
Well, let me ask you, Pat. I'm trying to equate it to the Baseball Hall of Fame. Now, the Baseball Hall of Fame is voted on by writers. Is it the same in NFL Hall of Fame? Is it the writers that vote for him?
I always thought so. I know there's a selection committee, but I thought the selection committee was sports writers plus, I think, some people that the NFL puts on as well.
Yeah, it's not limited to sports writers. And I'd have to go back and you know, think about this a little bit more. I don't know if there's any fan participation. Honestly, I don't remember right off the bat. Yeah. But certainly the most important thing, you know, I think one of the important things, obviously, they have to be great, great numbers, but also some, you know, if they've been playing a long time, although there are some players that, you know, have gone in that haven't played that long, they're, you know, obviously there are more quarterbacks that go in. I think there's some positions that it's much harder to get in than other positions. But I guess the question is, you know, should your bad behavior count? Because it hasn't counted for a lot of people if their bad behavior was off the field.
I'm thinking that if it's, in fact, the writers make up the majority of the voters, he may have angered a few of them, and they just said, you know what, here's my chance to get even. I'm not going to vote for him for the Hall of Fame. That's just kind of human nature.
Well, I think the one thing that people didn't like, I mean, I don't like Terrell Owens, but that's probably because I didn't like him when he was playing for Dallas. But I think he also had the habit of always blaming everyone else and acting like he was a victim.
Right.
And doing some stupid things on the field, you know, that would show the other team that he was having problems with his own team members. And I think that's, you have to have a lot of cohesiveness, and I would assume you have to have a lot of cohesiveness in the locker room. I mean, if these guys are openly fighting, I think that's one reason why they get rid of him, and I think that's why they got rid of him, because why else would they have gotten rid of such a good player?
Well, remember, they said he was toxic in the locker room in Philly, and could not wait him to move on. Despite his talent, they thought he was a detriment. Remember, he also took a lot of offensive penalties. He, in the two games that I attended and saw him play, he would grab face masks of his defenders a couple of times to pull them down before he could reach a ball. And the penalties were just so obvious that I think everybody would have thrown everybody in the Veterans Stadium and in Lincoln Financial Field, because he did play there the first year it was open, must have seen this unless they had their back turned.
Yeah, well, he was a dirty player.
Yeah, He was.
Well, I guess we could go through the Hall of Fame and see if there were any other dirty players that got in.
Bet you there was one or two.
Yeah, there were more than one or two. And in fact, that's not usually something that makes the fans. In fact, I'm blanking on who it was now, but boy, I saw one of the dirtiest plays possible in Tampa against Brett Favre. Who was it? I'll think about it. But it was an outrageous play, and I think the guy got fined, but I don't think anything else really happened, and I'm sure that all the Tampa Bay fans thought that was great. But in any event, I can't help but think that Terrell Owens will get in next year or the year after. I mean, I can't imagine with his numbers that they will keep him out.
He's the second leading receiver in terms of receptions in the history of the league.
Yeah.
That's right.
I mean, I agree, Pat. At some point he'll get in. I think some people just had something against him and said, okay, not this time, maybe next time.
Well, and I think
it may even be 6 or 8 years. People will forget the on and off the field antics.
Well, more than that, there might have been some people out there that said, you know, with his ego, we're gonna show him for a year or two. Ego alone or ego is not going to help him, and maybe we'll put him down even though he has the numbers. With his ego, we're just going to make him wait.
Well, that may very well be what happens. I think ultimately he will get in. This is certainly not a situation like with Pete Rose where in baseball where he was banned from baseball for betting and has been essentially ostracized from baseball. I'm not even sure if you can sell him a ticket to sit in the center field bleachers. But the football really hasn't ostracized anybody from the game as far as I know. The football's had a tradition of people getting into trouble and then being taken back into the fold after a period of time.
Well, in fact, there are some commentators that said that some of these other guys who, in fact, have some bad behavior have had a lot of support, and that's the reason why they weren't out there dangling. At least one commentator said that he feels that was the problem, that Terrell Owens never had the support around him that, for example, Brett Favre had when he admitted his pill addiction. On the other hand, I still think that is different. And, yes, the Packers were supportive. I think that the Vikings were supportive of Peterson. But, again, the players love Brett, and the players love Peterson. So what they were doing was not the kind of antics that Terrell Owens did. And some other people have done them. But in any event, let's just take a couple spots from our sponsors, and then we'll be back for whatever else we want to talk about. And hi, John Manfreda. I'm sure you're on your way down to wherever you're going today, and we miss you, but I guess you have to go to a wedding.
Mm-hmm. That's what he told me. I hope it's true.
The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce is proud to present HunterdonChamberRadio.com. All business, all talk, all community. Bringing you local news, information, events, and informative programming. Proudly serving the businesses and residents of Hunterdon County, New Jersey. The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce is proud to present HunterdonChamberRadio.com. All business, all talk, all community. Bringing you local news, information, events, and informative programming. Proudly serving the businesses and residents of Hunterdon County, New Jersey.
Hi, I'm Pat Smits, Law Offices of Patricia Garrity Smits, LLC. The Hunterdon Chamber is a great resource to find the best local business people and meet new friends.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4-HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
Okay, we're back with the sports guys, and I'm going to have Bill tell you again about the our hockey excursion that's coming up, and we really hope that people would join us. It's going to be a fun night and very inexpensive entertainment.
Oh, it absolutely is, and it's always fun to go see a hockey game, particularly in a beautiful new arena, the Pennsylvania Power and Light Center in downtown Allentown. Well, join us sports guys for the Chamber of Commerce first hockey night with the sports guys, Lehigh Valley Phantoms, facing off against the Islanders Farm Club, the Bridgeport Sound Tigers, Saturday night, February 20th. Face-off is at 7 o'clock. The doors open at 5:30. Tickets are $17, and two lucky fans will get a chance to ride the Zamboni during the second intermission. If you're interested in attending, go to our chamber website or our Sports Guys radio chamber website at the Hunterdon County Internet Radio, or give me a call, 908-782-9333, or send me an email at wwolfsonlaw@comcast.net. Tickets are $17, and we're all going to try to meet up at the Allentown Brew Works at around 5 o'clock on Saturday afternoon, the 20th of February. It's a good cold weather weekend coming up, and we've got another one right behind it. We're going to look to see some hockey, and hopefully everyone will get up off that couch, put on their warmest clothing, and head up to Allentown to join us sports guys for hockey night at the Lehigh Valley Phantoms.
And Ken, you've been at the stadium. Why don't you tell people about the parking and how easy it is to get in and out?
Pat, it's like going to an NHL game without any of the negatives. There's very little traffic. The parking is right adjacent to the arena. We're talking like a two-minute walk to the arena from the parking decks. And I think there's like $3 or $4 to park your car. It's not like going to New York where you're paying $40. I think you're holding up six fingers. You're saying $6. I don't remember paying that much, but you could be right. But still, it's not like $40 at Madison Square Garden. And there's plenty of restaurants around it to eat at. And once you're inside, you feel like you're at an NHL game. You just don't have the upper deck like you do at the Garden or at the Prudential Center or something like that. So
So that means that you can actually see better.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
You don't have the upper deck.
Bill got a very good seats, but there's not a bad seat in the PP&L Center. It's a great experience.
Oh, yeah. We have center ice seats, folks, in the second level just back. There's no upper deck, so it's all one bowl, one level, and the seats are center ice. And, you know, the nice thing about AHL hockey is the arenas are smaller. It's a lot more intimate. You're close up and personal with the game, and you'll see tomorrow's stars next Saturday night.
And not only that, it's a good place to bring kids who are interested in hockey or maybe not even interested in hockey, because it's easy to explain the game and explain what's going on, and that's what you guys are going to do for me. I know Bill and John and I recently went to a Devils game, and that was a lot of fun, but it's not inexpensive to go to any of these professional sports, and we're lucky in this area to have as many venues for semi-professional. I mean, baseball, we go to Trenton, Somerset Patriots. We now can go easily to Allentown. I mean, I guess the only thing we don't have in Hunterdon County or close by is a movie theater.
Well, you know, that's true.
We go to Phillipsburg to go to the movies.
There's no movie theaters in Hunterdon
County?
There
is not a single movie theater in Hunterdon County.
That's correct.
Not one.
There had to be one in Flemington.
Oh, there used
to
be three.
Oh, there used to be three. Actually, there used to be six. They were where the Home Depot is now. Wow. There were five or six screens in this building. It was a fun place to go.
Oh, but the real theater was the old one.
On Route 31 and Church Street, the old Hunterdon Theater. I used to love going in there as a kid. It had beautiful Art Deco letters. The interior, when it was maintained, was beautiful inside.
And I heard it had a nice balcony for young people. I guess Bill isn't mentioning that one.
That was what